afternoon. Today is Thursday, July the 18th, 198th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is your Eureka City Schools Superintendent, Fred Van Fleck. Hey, and he's got his long pants on today. Must be a work day, huh?
It's a work day, but you know what? You bet you're impressed to see I don't have a tie on today.
Oh, that's I'm impressed that you've got a shirt that fits on, too. Yeah, that's nice.
What other kind of shirt would I wear?
let's say mom's out of town and Fred's done the laundry shirt.
Actually, mom's out of town right now and Fred's done the laundry. She's
oh, really?
Been out of town for a week, yes.
And you didn't shrink it?
No, I'm doing pretty well. Actually, truth
well,
be told.
Well, you're peaking. And you brought along a buddy, huh?
Yes, I did. Yes,
how'd
I did.
That happen?
Well, he volunteered to be the victim of the day on Talk Shop for us.
Oh, so. We've victim, got, eh?
Yes. So we have with us Jason White, who is our new coach for Eureka High School football.
And teacher, right?
And teacher, PE teacher on campus there at the high school, absolutely.
Cool. Well, I would imagine we'll be talking something a little bit about football.
I would imagine.
Yeah, and I'm sure a couple other things will wind its way in when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time is 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck and Jason White. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Are either of you guys have kitchen duty tonight?
Well, seeing as how I'm home alone right now.
Oh, you're alone alone.
I'm alone alone. Kids
oh,
are
you
gone,
got restaurant
gone.
Duty tonight then. I've, okay.
But,
that's
you know, my
deal.
Wife's coming back tomorrow, so I've got to do all the dishes.
Oh. Okay, here's our quote. Storm Jameson. Life is too short to stuff a mushroom. You can explain it to football guy here outside. It'll take him a little while, longer to pick up on it. So, you stayed in the same town, Mr. White.
Yes, I did.
But you're just making a different turn as you're coming in. What's exciting for you about Eureka High football?
Oh, just the pool of athletes that Eureka has is and the tradition behind Eureka football, which is has always been known for having a good football program, that really attracted me to the job.
Fred, when you were looking for somebody to replace or to fill in the position, what were you looking for?
Well, we're looking for a couple things. One of the things that was a priority for us is we really wanted to get an on-campus coach, somebody that could be there because really coaching students, and I just kind of gave away where I was going right there, coaching students is more than just being out on the football field. It's about all day long. And when you have someone that has the intelligence and the capability like Jason coming into the program like this, it's a win-win situation for us because not only are we getting the coaching on the field, we're getting the coaching during the day too. And the impact that can be made with those kids is just so significant year-round. It's a great thing.
Now, you said intelligence and a PE coach and a football coach and Jason all in one hyphen. Don't need to amend that one?
Well, you know what? You know Jason better than I do. So far, I'm impressed. Are you telling me something? So far, it's been good.
Obviously, Jason is going to give you a little bit more chance to focus on one particular area rather than carrying so many different balls. In your past position, that focus, is that something that's going to be refreshing for you, do you think?
Yes. But I've always enjoyed having the challenge of doing a multitude of jobs, but you're right, having the focus of really having just two two heads, you know, as a teacher and a coach instead of three or four like I did at St. Bernard's is definitely going to make things my life a lot easier across the whole year and allow me to devote a little more time and be a better teacher and be a better coach.
Fred, fundraising oftentimes is a big deal for high school sports, almost probably as much as it is for collegiate sports anymore. What's the financial picture for Eureka High and the athletic department? Do they need to go out and do some of the fundraising? Is that the responsibility of the coaches? Is that the athletic director? Is that the principal? Or is that the superintendent's role?
Well, seeing as how I'm an auctioneer, I do a lot of fundraising stuff. But anyways, to get specific to your question, fundraising, you're right, fundraising has become a reality. You go back 10, 15, 20 years, and there's a lot more money to go around, and a lot more money was provided to some of the athletic programs. Right now, I like to say we provide everything that the athletic program needs, but we don't provide everything that the athletic program wants, nor do we provide everything that if you really want to go to that next level, and we're just talking specifically football, but this goes all the way around in all the sports. If you really want to take it to that next level, you just can't do it without the fundraising. And Jason has made a good commitment to really heading up the fundraising campaign and really taking the team to the next level and doing some of those things that, again, frankly, you just can't do without some fundraising. I wish I could sit here and say we provide all the money that the football program to take it to the next level. It's just a reality that we don't. One of the things we're committed to, though, however, is the transportation and making sure that the transportation is there for the teams to go to the places. That's a definite need.
A need requirement for the program or need for the fundraising?
Well, I call it a need for us providing the transportation, district-provided transportation, not fundraised transportation. Now, one of the agreements that we made, you know, is how far you can travel, some of those different things, and we've talked about a specific number of miles a year. You know, if Jason—
Not playing Mater Day this year?
No.
Okay.
Nothing south of the Bay Area.
Okay.
So if he wanted to go down to San Diego and play a game, let's say, that would be a want, and that would be something that would be on the parameters of what. I'm not saying he's going to San Diego. Just
so you take him to
that.
the Bay Bridge, and he'd have to take it from
correct.
There.
Correct, and we wouldn't take him to the Bay Bridge every Friday, but we'd take him to the Bay Bridge a couple times a year. Yes.
Different challenges, obviously. Pixie dust. If you had one thing you could get, what would be the one thing that Fred's not giving you, Jason, that you'd like?
A turf field.
Say! I think it's time for a break. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Fred Van Fleck and Jason White.
Now I'm in a sunshine for Humboldt. Recently, the Eureka Heritage Society named Bill Hole its Preservationist of the Year. For 17 years, he's led the renowned Historic Preservation and Restoration Technology Program at College of the Redwoods. Now, however, he's been told the college may not be able to afford to offer his classes next school year. While the program has a shortfall based solely on enrollment, Mr. Hole says that's not the full story. It's brought in more money than it costs to run, over $1 million from donated supplies, equipment and training sites, state grants and training agreements. He adds, "The type of training we do, integrating construction, rebuilding, and revitalizing neighborhoods, is significant to Humboldt County. The intensive hands-on training prepares his students to fill the demand for specialists to work on restorations locally and throughout the country. See, our administrators should take off their green eye shades and see the big picture. This program is a valuable asset to our economy and culture." Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck and Jason White from Eureka High. Okay, I can say it almost cleanly. Jason, with the experience you had at Humboldt, at CR, some of the regional stuff that's going on, what do you see as the future, and how do you keep the kids balanced out so that they don't think that this is the CFL, or that everybody is going to be Vanuku, or Maluga or JSO now with the A's. And, you know, everybody's going to the big time, either a D1 or we're going to sign right out of school. How do you keep the kids kind of focused, pumped up, build the program, and not go stupid crazy with it?
I think what you do is you talk with your student athletes a lot about being realistic, and as far as that goes, we really want to set up our kids to have that opportunity if it does arise for them and be able to take advantage of it. But at the same token, you know, you got to say, hey, you know, you're going to be able to play at this school. You're probably not going to get to play much if you go to this other school, and you send them out to things like combines or camps where they're around other student athletes from other areas, more metropolitan areas, where they can kind of really now gauge their talent level versus other kids and kind of go from there.
What types of camps are you wanting to have the kids go to? Let's go down the road 2 or 3 years, so you got a little bit of time and you got some momentum going for you. Do you want them to go to like the Oregon State? Those camps, I'm sure SC, UCLA has got them also. You mentioned San Jose State. Is that the kind of thing just for the exposure? Because it's a little different because you can't play summer ball in football. Yeah, it's a little different dynamic in that sport.
It's a much different dynamic. You know, you don't have year-round football, really. But I think when we sit down with our student athletes and we talk to them about what camps they're going to go to over the course of a summer, you know, I always tell them, hey, you know, pick 4 or 5 schools that you think you want to go to school and possibly play at. Be realistic about it and go to those camps and see how you do. You know, if there's a kid who's a Western Oregon, Humboldt State, you know, Division II type of athlete, and they're trying to go to USC because they think that's where they belong, you talk them down gently with the whole thing. You say, hey, maybe you should go to these other two camps too, and maybe go to the USC camp also, and then you'll kind of get a better feel of where you're at and go from there.
Get some feedback.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I never liked feedback.
A lot of people don't like feedback.
Yeah. Oh, Fred, when you're looking at the athletic programs at the high school, now you got a new guy on board, fire and brimstone. He's ready. He's going to, you know, set the world on fire. Okay. And building off the tradition. And how do you look at the other programs and say, you know, if White can do it, how come you aren't? Or do you measure one program against the other? How do you keep things in balance?
Well, that's a tough question. And one of the things that's tough about it is when you start comparing a football team to a tennis program or a cross-country program or a volleyball program or a basketball program or golf or whichever sport that you want to compare it to, you're really talking apples and oranges. And the measurement for success in football is much different than the measurement for success in golf. For instance, you have one football game a week. And in golf, you have several matches a week. Tennis, the same type of thing. So success levels are just very different and judged very differently. If you look at pressure that's given to each one of these individual sports, there's not a lot of people that go out to the golf course and watch a golf tournament. And when you go out on Friday night and fire up the lights and get up there in the stands, you got a couple thousand people up there. So there's a lot of pressure on Jason to succeed out there. When you look at some of these other sporting programs, that same pressure isn't there.
Well, so, let's back it down and look at it on a per athlete basis.
Sure.
Okay. So you've got a football player, a volleyball player, a golfer, and just for good measure, a basketball player. Okay. And you've got your coach. So how do you measure success on an individual basis? Not as a program, because the programs will go up and down. You know, you get a family going through that's got 3 or 4 kids and they're all athletically gifted. Yeah, you're going to look like you're walking on water. And then they're gone and all of a sudden reality hits and everybody's disappointed. So, you know, wins and losses are one thing, but I'm talking about the structural side of the programs.
So if you want to really delve in that deeply, where I would go is, how is a coach maximizing the athletic potential of each one of those individual students that's out there? And that maximization of athletic potential is not necessarily the same for one student versus another student, even if they're playing the same position on the same team. Two different levels of talent that are out there. And that's a coach's job, to bring out that maximum level of ability.
So will you oversee the principal, overseeing the AD, overseeing the program? Or do you leave it to the AD and kind of back off and say, you know, I got you plugged in there. This is your goal. I want the kids to be, you know, maximizing their opportunities and their talents. Well, regardless of win-loss, that's your target. Go.
One of the things that we started last year that's new for Eureka High School is we actually started evaluating our coaches. Our coaches have never been evaluated before. And so that's something that we brought into the program and talks exactly about what we just talked about, maximizing the athletic potential of students and actually setting some goals with the coaches, with the athletic director, as far as the program, where to take the program, and what success will be at the end of the season.
Not past the Bay Area. KINS News and Information Times, 3:30.
You want hot buys on furniture and appliances? You've got them during Burns Furniture's July Hot Buys Savings Event. Choose your new 7-piece living room group starting at just $899.95. In Burns Sleep Center, the new Serta Eye Comfort mattresses are the latest innovation. Or select your Englander mattress set in twin to king sizes. All with free local delivery and easy financing options. Hot buys on furniture and appliances during July at Burns Furniture, 5th and G Streets in downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck and Jason White from Eureka High School. Guys, as you're looking at the high school experience, I know normally the reference is collegiate experience. Okay, but the high school experience still is one that's there also. Jason is a hard-driving personality, you know, A-type and all that kind of stuff that most most football coaches are going to be that, or they're going to be former football coaches. How do you balance the academics into the equation? I know it's probably not fair having Fred in the booth at the same time as asking that question, but how do you do that so that the kids still get a fair shake with the sports, but they're not at the cost of academics?
Actually, that's not a tough question to answer. You know, for one thing, as a coach now, you really need to be involved in the academic sides of things for your student athletes. And so one thing that we've always done as part of our program is every Monday, you know, after practice or before practice, we'll pull the kids in one at a time into our office and talk to them about how they're doing academically. And the other thing you have to do is you have to be efficient with your practices. You can't have four-hour practices. I mean, that's just ridiculous anyway. You know, you got to cut it down so the kids can go home, they can eat dinner, and they have time to get their homework done and still get, you know, enough sleep to get up in the morning. And so you have to find a balance there also. And I think if you can do both of those things, that helps move you along in the right direction there.
I can remember reading one of the books. I think it was Steve Cunningham who wrote about Coach Wooden. And he said, you know, practice was never more than an hour and 15 minutes. But it was the longest hour and 15 minutes because you literally did not stop moving for the entire time. So you can do it if you know what you're doing and you're paying attention to that and respecting the time.
Yes.
Fred, the flip side, how do you get the kids who are academic able to participate in sports if there's so much pressure on them to get the GPA, to take the AP classes, to do all that kind of stuff that they have to, and they may not feel as if they have time because of all the academic expectations? and pressures and studying homework and.
Well, that goes back to the old equation of how you fill up that glass jar. And, you know, one of those questions is what goes in first, your sand or your marbles? And if you take that analogy a little bit further, if you just put the sand in first and dump the marbles on top, it won't all fit. But if you put the marbles in first, then dump the sand in, then the sand will go down and fill those gaps within the marbles. So these students have to choose what their marbles are, what goes in the jar first, and then to put the sand down around there. In a high school career, you can fit anything in pretty much that you want to do. It's a matter of prioritizing how you want to do it, when you want to do it, and what you want to be 100% committed to. You can do anything really well, but you can't do everything really well. So you just have to do that priority.
The switch I heard, well, it was about 7 years ago now. There are three things in high school: grades, academics, sports, and love interest.
I was going to say dating. You got it.
You can do two of the three really well. Which two do you want?
I think you hit that one right on the head. Yeah. I have seen girls or boys be the demise of many students in many particular interests.
Amazing how that happens. What is the academic minimum requirement for participation in high school sports?
You want to take that, Jason?
Sure. You have to have a 2.0 GPA. That's really the big minimum, and you have to be on track for graduation. Those are the two requirements. And
what's Jason's minimum requirement?
My minimum requirement, I mean, that goes back to each individual is different. There's some kids that are going to be better students than others. And so I think your expectations for each individual on your team have to be tempered with what that kid is capable of, you know. So for some kids, it might be they're getting a 2.5 and you know, all C's and a couple B's maybe, and they're doing well. And then for another kid, it might be a 3.5 because you have higher expectations for that kid as a student.
Some of the schools, and I realize, you know, there are different. There are high schools and there are high schools. With their athletic programs, have got tutors, have got teachers assigned to the kids to not only keep them academically eligible, but to make sure that they're on track to qualify for the schools that are doing the recruiting for them. Is there that kind of commitment at Eureka High, Fred, for that kind of an additional, if the kid needs it or if the kid wants it, will they have the equivalent of a tutor or a homeroom or maybe a zero period or something like that where they can go and get some academic assistance that is available at a time that fits into their practice schedule also?
Well, I would say that there's always the availability of the extra help and that goes along with the extra assistance that's needed by certain students. As far as a formal program, most of that's lined out by the individual coaches as far as having academic time or study time. And that really goes back to that piece that I was talking about of the advantage of having the on-campus coach. Because when you've got a student who is struggling in a particular class and Jason is a teacher on the campus, that allows him the ability to go out to that teacher that he's struggling with and say, hey, you know what, Brian's really struggling right now in your chemistry class. And so I need your help.
So having the relationships at the faculty level.
Yes.
Help to make
yes.
that happen.
Yes. And you know what? Our teachers are very dedicated at Eureka High School. And our teachers, it's not just when they're inside their class from when the bell starts, the class starts and the class ends. They're available after school. They're available before school. And I want to make sure that they're not sold short in that extra support that they provide for their students.
KINS, News and Information Times, 342. We'll be back with more from Jason White and Fred Van Fleck.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck and Jason White. Fred, you're on for the rest of this one. Thanks, Jason. Nice to see you again.
Well, thanks for warning me.
Yeah. Good seeing you too, Brian.
Yeah. Well, I got about 3 minutes, and I know that you had some community reaction with what was going on with some of the class structures and some of the decisions at Eureka High School in the ROP programs. Why don't you bring everybody up to speed on what's going on with that?
Sure. The community reaction was to the redirection of the auto program, moving toward more of a diesel-type program, which we were calling power mechanics. And we had a tremendous turnout at our board meeting where the board was discussing the future of the auto program. We had over 80 community members show up to that meeting and voice their opinion. The vast majority of the community members that showed up to the board meeting were there in support of the auto program and maintaining the auto program and talking about creating some sort of new future for the auto program rather than creating a different future for the auto program, meaning going in the diesel or power mechanic side. The board listened for a long time. In fact, that meeting went on for about 4.5 hours. And all kinds of public comment, very heartfelt, passionate people that were out there in support of the auto program, and some comments that were in support of moving towards a power mechanics way. And at the end of the night, what it came down to was there was a number of jobs that were available that were part of a study that was done in Humboldt County here, and there was about 600 jobs projected to be available in auto in 2018 and about 1,200 jobs projected to be available in the power mechanics fields in 2018, with an annual opening of about 18 in auto and an annual opening of about 38 in power mechanics. So at the end of the night, it was a split vote on the board. But what the board came up with was kind of a unique solution where they wanted these power mechanics to lead into a capstone course of Auto 3 with the Automotive Society of Excellence, or ASE, certification. So students can actually leave the high school program with some sort of skill that they can put to work pretty close to immediately after they graduate. So with that, I think we've come up with a solution to the program that, and I don't want to get too far into the solution, but what I will say is that we've talked to a lot of people out in the auto industry since that board meeting last week, and we've talked to the stakeholders that are out there, and we've come up with something that we think that is going to be beneficial to the most important group, and that is the students.
So you didn't end up with a camel. You ended up with a racehorse?
Yes, I think we do have a racehorse, and I think this is something that those 80 people out there are going to get behind and really support, and that's the one thing that was really important to me. I was so impressed with the number of people that turned out there, is turning that energy into doing some great programs for the students that are out there, and I think we came up with that solution that will make that happen.
Were you surprised at the turnout for this class, or that there's that support for the ROP program in the community?
You know, that's a good question. I don't think this was a question of the ROP program in the community, because if you were to look at what the proposal was, there was absolutely no difference in the number of shop classes that were taught last year as compared to next year, even in going into power mechanics. So the number of classes taught didn't reduce at all. So I don't think this was an ROP question. I think this was a question of auto and its importance to the Eureka and surrounding community.
I've always thought that there's a background supporting, whether it's restaurant, auto, home construction, whatever it is, for the ROP programs, but you don't hear about it until something doesn't go quite right or quite the way that they want it to go. So cool.
Right.
I mean, ending up with a racehorse, that's not bad.
Yes, I think so.
Of course, I'll never catch up to it, so that's okay. Thanks for coming by, guys.
Absolutely.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck and Jason White. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you know.